préparé, on voit dans le cheminement qu'il a...
We can tell it's been already orchestrated. His tracking marks show it. He was waiting for the patrols to arrive. He hides in a nearby relay shop, and once he sees the soldiers, he stands behind them immediately. There's a lot of precipitation, everything runs quickly, and in an instant, he grabs the woman soldier by the neck in a strangulation movement. We could tell by then he was very determined.
No one else in the busy terminal was hurt, but thousands of travelers were evacuated and flights diverted. A 14-year-old boy has miraculously survived a 30-meter cliff plunge in the Blue Mountains. The boy was in the bush with friends when he fell near Mount Solitary, just west of Katoomba. The boy was airlifted to Randwick Children's Hospital 3 hours after he sustained non-life-threatening injuries in the fall. A 30-year-old Melbourne truck driver has been charged with culpable driving causing death following a fatal pile-up. The man is alleged to have been the driver of a truck towing a tipper trailer involved in the crash on the Calder Freeway in Taylor's Lakes on Friday. He faced Melbourne Magistrates Court last night after being released from hospital. He was also charged with dangerous driving causing death, reckless conduct endangering life, driving in a manner dangerous and careless driving. He's been remanded in custody. A teenage boy has been arrested in Victoria over a spate of alleged aggravated burglaries and thefts. The 16-year-old Kooi Rup boy had been charged with more than 60 offences over a three-week period from February 22, including 6 aggravated burglaries, 9 burglaries, 16 thefts, 13 car thefts, 2 charges of evading police and dangerous driving. The boy appeared before a children's court yesterday and has been remanded in custody. The annual green gathering to mark St. Patrick's Day in Sydney has been cancelled as heavy rain continues to fall
don't get immune to things, but you get used to seeing certain things.
Yep.
But then performances like yesterday do take your breath away. And it was a privilege to be at Rose Hill yesterday, Jim, and she has... it was the most dominant win that she's had in Sydney.
Yes, yes.
It's impossible to say she's gone to a new level considering what she's done over the last 2 years, but at this very moment, she is invincible. There's nothing around that can get near her.
See the odds slashed? This is the Queen Elizabeth, $1.35 into $1.15.
It was amazing.
Just incredible.
You know what, Jimmy, it was almost 14,000 there, which was a fairly good crowd given the weather at Rose Hill, and the reception that she got from the Rose Hill crowd afterwards. People were in awe of the performance, and they let Hugh Bowman, Chris Waller, and all the connections, and Winx herself know that they were pretty appreciative of it.
She's nearly done enough to inspire a talk topic. We'll get to that very shortly, but let's go through what's coming up. Apparently, there was the Golden Slipper race. What is it? The two-year-old?
What a great story,
that. Oh, yeah, fantastic story. And I read all about it in the paper yesterday as well, about the 20 different owners.
But a great story after the race. They were so happy. There was one bloke shouting, I can pay off my kids' expenses. One bloke, I can pay off the mortgage. It was
that right?
That was their dream had come true, hadn't it?
And it's a lot of first-time owners too,
yeah,
wasn't it?
And Gary Portelli's line was, it shows that everyone has a chance. And he's right, isn't he?
And that's the beauty of the racing game. The $20,000 yearling bought by 20 people can win the Golden Slipper. Just incredible. So we'll talk to Gary Portelli. We told him he'd win it last week. He said it wasn't going to rain. Well, he got that wrong, but he got everything else right, didn't he? With the way that, I'll tell you what, Ben Mellon got it right too.
What?
Ride
for the ages.
Fantastic. We'll have our race replays as well. Scott Darby from Darby Racing, and why not? It's just, I tell you what, he's done well, hasn't he, in the last couple of years. Yankee Rose.
Probably thought that was his chance last year.
Yeah.
$10,000 buy, and she runs second to Capitalist. And then 12 months later, he went up to 20,000.
I was going to say, it's good to spend that little bit of extra dough, isn't it? He's really lashed out and he's gone to 20,000, but it's worked a treat. Tell you what, he's been in the news all week. Peter Zorba Peters. What's he calling Manly fans? Dummies and cowards? No, he didn't call Manly fans that. He called those keyboard warriors doing that. So Manly fans, settle down. But I'll tell you what, I know there's a lot of Manly fans getting in contact with the program. We'll find out what was going on there with Zorba. Peter Ty, he's a part owner of Winx. They wear the famous colours. She wears the famous colours of Peter Ty and Magic Bloodstock. So we'll have a chat with Peter, just see how things are going. He had a long wait before he got found Group 1 success too, didn't he? 20-year wait. And he finds a pretty good one.
Really good one.
We'll have a chat to John Singleton today. Andy Pascalides from the world of football. We'll have our ZNZ quiz. Just an update on the score there, Roman.
6-4.
It is 6-4.
Back in the game.
Yeah, first set. There you go. 6-4, 6-4. Chris Hayward, the country championship, we mentioned that. They're down in Albury today.
Got five runners
well.
In the big race today.
There you
Chris.
Go.
Yeah.
Big chance. Kevin Langby is our legend of the game. We thought, the five group ones yesterday at Rose Hill Gardens, we thought Kevin Langby, and I've very much enjoyed taking a walk down memory lane and doing some research on Kevin Langby.
Three golden slippers.
What about the magnificent hair?
Yeah. And he should have won four golds.
Yeah, Imadule fell over. Yeah. He said he was very confident that day.
Oh, Imadule was a freak.
Very confident.
Funnily
enough, Per Scalia?
Yes.
I saw his grandson.
Really?
Yeah. He's a massive Roosters fan. He was out at the Penrith versus Roosters game, and I said, mate, I was reading about your grandfather today.
Eskimo Prince.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, so we'll have a chat with Kevin Langby. We'll also speak to Trent Lenscar from tab.com.au. Dean Bulldog Richie's doing a fun run.
subsequently, you know, you should have argued more with Jim Smith. All I'm saying, Jimmy, is that the technology is here. It doesn't take long to go. So upstairs, if there's even a slightest doubt on a forward pass during the process of scoring a try, just go upstairs to check it quickly. Last night again, another one, Jim.
Oh,
Latrell Mitchell.
Your pants, is it?
Now look, a better team one, I thought. Even though it was a great game of footy.
It was a good
game. Roosters were terrific. But again, what could have gone upstairs and checked it in 2 seconds, Jim.
Oh, look, was that one as blatant as the one from James Roberts to Jordan Kahu the week before? No.
Are you half pregnant? It's a forward pass.
It wasn't.
Matter.
Was it a forward pass? In my mind. Yes. Last
Thank
night.
I think
right.
You were saying no for a second.
No, no, it was a forward pass. The problem with it is this, Ray, and this is the issue I have with it. It can only be on try scoring.
Okay.
Because otherwise, you're getting passes out of dummy half. Oh, did that one go forward? Let's refer it upstairs. No, no, keep that out of the game. And the other thing is, if it happens 3 metres out from the try line, where cameras are fixed on halfway, how do you get... Now, I know there's some roving cameras, but how do you get an understanding that you're going to get a line of sight on it every time?
Definitive proof, Bunker calls it. Both those instances we spoke about last week and again last night, definitive proof, Jim.
13:53:53, we'll take your calls on this one. Disgruntled Panthers
fans.
No, I'm not.
It was the same point I raised last week and you cut me off, and I still think it has merit.
If blowing up a bit.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, I'm not upset. I'm just saying if the technology is there, why doesn't the NRL use it?
We want less.
Of course we do, but you also want less controversies. You want to get more right than wrong. You want supporters of every team to say, okay, fair enough. Forward pass.
Rabbitohs 24, Knights 18. I tell you what, did you see this? The big incident coming out of this is George Burgess. He will get
weeks. What will he get?
He will get weeks. He would be referred directly to the judiciary, I would have thought.
Four?
It's a good old-fashioned elbow.
Four?
Oh, more. I'd be very surprised if it was anything less than 6 weeks. Anything less than 6 weeks. So we'll take your thoughts on that one as well. The Seagulls, after the week from hell, gone up there.
No Matty Scott, no Jason Taumalolo.
30 points to wait against the Cowboys. JT was still playing. I tell you what, Jason Taumalolo, by not playing, I know Matt Scott was out as well, but Jason Taumalolo has just made himself a $1 million player.
He's invaluable, isn't he?
Just how important he is to the side.
Would you have appealed what he did during the week, got an extra week on top of it? Was it because Matt Scott was out, they rolled the dice?
Oh, yeah. Maybe they should have taken the early guilty plea.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I heard
Gordon Tallis and Nathan Highmarsh and Brian Fletcher and Matty Johns talk about, no, it's not a shoulder charge. It was a shoulder charge. Sorry, guys, it was a shoulder charge. So
I think because they lost Matt Scott,
you're probably right about that. 14-12, Melbourne against Brisbane, that was a classic on Thursday. Bulldogs 24-12 against the Warriors. The Titans beat the Eels. They barely had 13 on the park at the end of it. 26 points to 14. Corey Norman's just made himself a $1 million player, but he's already signed up for a deal. Let's go over to Ranchi for the test match, Roman.
Pat Cummins. Also.
Steve Smith. Just 178 not out. Well done.
Didn't look like getting out, Steve Smith.
Just unbelievable. 451 Australia. India is 6 for 306. He's been pretty slow. But Cheteshwar Pujara, 130 not out. First Indian to make a century this series. And Pat Cummins, as you mentioned, 4 for 59 in a comeback to Test cricket 6 years through his previous Test match.
And wasn't there a bit of irony when Steve Smith latched onto that catch off Kohli from Cummins? Kohli goes for 6. Weren't the Australians overjoyed to see Virat Kohli walk back out? He's averaging 9 for the series. You never would have picked that, would you?
Unbelievable.
Gee.
We just thought he was going to score run after run. Instead, it's the Australian captain.
Just worry it's going to happen.
Who is doing that?
That test match is so evenly poised. Going to day 4 now. What price is the draw, Jim?
The draw is $1.75. Mm. I can't believe it. The draw is $1.75. We've had Nick Kyrgios, who's beaten Novak Djokovic again, then pulled the pin with... He got crook. If it was anyone else but Nick, you'd just think, what's going on there? Anyway, we'll talk Tony Lockett, we'll talk Bruce McAvaney, we'll talk James McManus. All of this stuff, big news during the course of the sporting week. Time now for a break on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After that break, back with your calls. The number, 1353.
folklore. It was a tremendous win and a popular win. And we've been fortunate to have Gary Portelli, the Golden Slipper winning trainer, join us this morning. Gary, good morning. Congratulations. And how does that sit with you, a Golden Slipper winning trainer?
I don't think it's sat in yet, mate. Pretty surreal at the moment, I've got to say. Something you've aimed at all your blind as a trainer. This is, I've always wanted to win a slipper, and mate, I'd love to have a horse good enough to win a Cox Plate. I think if I won a Cox Plate, I might even contemplate retiring the next day, mate, just go out on feet.
We told you last week you'd win it. What were you worried about, Gary?
And Ray stayed firm all week, mate. He's got some great stories on the filly. He's the only one that tipped it amongst all the tipsters. And, mate, good on you, Ray. I was confident. Ray rang me a couple of days before the race, I think, and said, what do you reckon? I said, mate, look, if it was dry, I'd be so confident, it'd be ridiculous. I'd probably be more nervous because I'd expected a win then. But with this track, I just don't know how she's going to go, you know. And I was disappointed because I knew I had the horse to win the Golden Slipper. I've had a few other years. And I woke up on Saturday morning at 3:30, and I swung my legs off the edge of the bed, hit the ground, and I thought to myself, today I want to win a Golden Slipper, because I've thinking to myself, if I can't win this year, I don't think I'm going to get better chance with better horses, you know. Very hard to get this quality of animal. And I just went there thinking, this is probably my last chance. You just never know, but you know, it's my last chance to win it. Well, I can't win it with this, or what do I need?
Well, it came off spectacularly, Gary, but can I ask your thoughts soon after the start when Ben Mellum did what I think is one of the boldest gambles I've seen in a Golden Slipper, eased back and went back across the back of the field to find the fence and then rode for luck. It was one of the great Golden Slipper rides.
Well, we spoke about it before the race, Ray, and we're sort of, I was contemplating if we jump well, we'd get across and just let the Hootson take us around the corner, because I thought we could cross most of them horses that were inside when we heard Medinity was going to take a sit. But a little bit of speed had come out, so if you jump well, go forward. But then, as I was telling him his instructions, you could see him starting to think, what am I going to say here? I said it before, hundreds of jockeys, you know, this bloke's not going to do it, I'm just telling
him. He's not listening to you.
He said, look, I want to cut back along the back of him and just straight back to the fence behind her like I did in Silver Slip. I don't think she's got the speed out of the gate that she had early on. He said, I think if we ride at the speed, we might have a really struggling through the conditions. But I said, well, you do what you've got to do. You realise what's on the line here. And it's going to be something physical and personal. And he's cut back to the rails and rode in a tree. I mean, like, the speed she showed from the, probably the, Tinker Bullet was sitting back about three sets where we thought he'd be one off the fence. And he went past her like it was a lap to go up the trot. She went past him, I should say. They just were going horse after horse after horse to get up into that sort of first group again. Mate, she was absolutely low level flying, which is great. I thought, she can't sustain this. Railed up again, no one wanted to be to the rails. And, I rode Peter Cook, I didn't move. I just thought, I'm not going to go after it. As soon as I do, something will come out of the pack here, and I was looking for frolic, and, you know, I just got a fence to myself. I almost reached it again, actually.
Hey, Gary, you said after the race, this is a race that defines a trainer. In what way?
Well, I think it's a
I told him. Yeah. And you know what? Did I back it? Of course I didn't. The rain kept me away, Ray. The rain kept me away. Anyway, there you go. Congratulations to all those people involved in the great She Will Rain. 1353 53, the open line number. We're going to get to callers right now, and lots to discuss around the racing yesterday, the rugby league, and of course anything else from the world of sport. Jimmy is online. G'day, Jimmy.
G'day, Jimmy. Smith, how are you?
Very well, mate.
Mate, I was lucky enough yesterday to be sitting at the 100-metre mark in the grandstand yesterday when that mare went past. Ray, I don't think we've seen acceleration like that for racehorses since then.
Yeah, you know what, Jimmy, I'm not going to argue with you because that was phenomenal yesterday. I was telling Jimmy Smith earlier that there are some moments in any sport which just leave you, I don't know, Jimmy, just gobsmacked. And that was me yesterday, and it sounds like it was you too up in the stand.
Mate, I've been going racing a long time, you know, with a kid and whatever. And I was trying to think, I thought, man, I've never seen a horse do that since. He could just drop a third of quality racehorses like that in three or four strides.
And well,
Jimmy,
the race
hang on,
so easily as well.
Jimmy, Ray yeah. Thomas's favourite horse is Kingston Town. Still with Kingston Town?
That's the best horse I've seen, yes.
Yeah.
But Winx, she's up there now in a very rare echelon. And at Jimmy's points, very well made. I haven't seen a good horse do that to absolutely outstanding horses for a long, long time. And she's done it not just once now, Jimmy, has it? Remember the Cox Plate last spring and other races?
That's the thing about a race. She does it consistently. That's what makes her Kingston Town. To a lesser degree, Bozam had it as well. But, you know, that kind of acceleration, that's pure class in the race course.
But based on yesterday, Jimmy, now, on all surfaces.
Oh, mate, you know, world champion on surf and world champion on mud.
Yeah. Good on you, mate. Good on you, Jimmy. We appreciate the call. We've got to keep going because we've got plenty of callers there. Ron is on the line now, wants to have his say. Hamish. Well done. What about you, Raymond?
Okay, moments etched in time. 1996, getting ready to go to the races on a Saturday morning.
Yes.
I want to watch Kieran Perkins. I believe in this guy. Lane 8, Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I waited and waited. I'm not going to go until Perkins swims. And it was worth the wait. One of the greatest moments. I'll never forget that.
He just went out hard and hung
never,
on,
ever
didn't
forget
he?
It. Because everyone had written him off.
Yep.
And it was just amazing. Good talk topic, Jim Smith. I like it.
There you go. Moments in time. Special moments in time in the world of sport.
Five Group 1 races yesterday. Absolute smorgasbord of some of the best thoroughbreds in the Southern Hemisphere. The first of the Group 1s was the Randvet Stakes. Kerry McAvoy ended up having a big day. Great ride on a horse they describe as the best wet track in the world, Jim Smith.
Wow.
Our Ivanhoe.
Showed it.
Ivanhoe's pulling out from He's Our Rocky. And boy, Hartnell will have to be good from there. He's still last. Antonio Giuseppe coming away from the rails. He wants to lay in a bit. He's a couple in front. Boy, Hartnell's not done with. He's coming down the outside with Our Ivanhoe, the first to get chased. And Our Ivanhoe hits the lead. Hartnell the upside. The United States is trying hard. But Our Ivanhoe, he hasn't raced since the Melbourne Cup. But away he goes in the Rampart. Our Ivanhoe in the heavy 10 conditions wins it easily. Hartnell second. The United States third.
Well, swum through that. First run since the Melbourne Cup, as we heard there from Darren Flindell. And
could
great
pick up next week in the BMW.
What a great training performance, eh?
Lee Friedman's first Group 1 in Sydney since Speed Gifted, 2009 Metro.
Is that right?
Yeah.
2009, there you go. Antonio Giuseppe and Tavago are the favourites for the Sydney Cup. Big Dukes there as well after the win yesterday. Our Ivanhoe is an $11 chance in that market.
Okay. Spoken about her?
Yeah.
Let's hear Darren Flindell, the great Winx in the George Rider.
Winx on the bridle just strides up the third, then Haraki, and Chautauqua will have to cut the corner. The crowd starting to lift. Lou Romaine takes the lead. Winx is just cruising up on the outside. It's Lou Romaine and Winx, and Bowman sits motionless yet again. Look at her rip clear inside the 200. Lou Romaine can't go on, nor Haraki. Chautauqua out of the pack. But all conditions, all distances, all challenges. Here's Sweet 16 for Winx, making it back-to-back wins in the George Rider. Lou Romaine six lengths away second, Chautauqua third, Haraki fourth.
Wow, a bit of goosebumps with that. I tell you what, on the bend she was three wide and about four lengths back. And then by the time they finished the bend, she was up with Lou Romaine.
And Hugh Bowman hadn't breathed on her.
How did she do that?
Hugh Bowman hadn't breathed on her.
Just amazing.
Incredible. What a
so she's gone to the corner. She's $1.35 into $1.50. Hey, do what you like. Rain, dry, whatever.
Just an amazing horse. Ginger Nuts.
Thank you very
much. New Zealand Derby winner.
Oh,
I'll tell you what. He's a pretty good horse. Really good win in the race, Hawking.
Upper's Choice, one of the roughies of the field, is Skip Wellclear coming around the turn. Land of Plenty on the fence. Ginger Nuts is looping the field with Stacey Bonner. And further back to inference, Harper's Choice, Daring Tactics. But here comes the New Zealand Derby winner, Ginger Nuts. He's thrown out the lasso and roping in the leader. Ginger Nuts heads off Harper's Choice. Then Stacey Bonner in inference. Ginger Nuts, 150 to go. He's way out in front of inference. Stacey Bonner fighting out the miners. Ginger Nuts is getting tired, but he's got the Rose Hill Guineas won. It's Ginger Nuts by two lengths. Nearly a dead heat second. Sosie Bond in imprint.
No doubt about those New Zealanders. Is it? We had this tweet from Michelle from Dubbo a little bit earlier. I hope you had a piece of Ginger Nuts yesterday. And I thought, what sort of program are we? No idea. Great performance there. Now, the Derby, not nominated.
Can get a run, Jim.
Right.
24,000 will cost them, but
right.
They can get into the race.
They're in incredibly tight Kiwis. You think they'll cop it up?
Won a bit of money yesterday.
Okay.
What's the price in the Derby, Jim?
460 equal favourite with inference.
Good one, inference.
Anaheim at $8.
His run yesterday.
And Prized Icon.
Anaheim.
Disappointing yesterday, Prized Icon.
Yeah, you've got to excuse horse race. Yes, down the track.
Yeah.
Anaheim was a big one. Okay, here she is, the Golden Slipper. What a story, what a win. She will reign.
Race around the turn, and Hootson's got a healthy lead, but here comes She Will Reign up the inside. Hootson a length in front of She Will Reign. Millen's looking pretty confident. She Will Reign moves up now to Hootson. Minari's running on, and Frolic's running home on the fence. She Will Reign races to the lead, 150 out. She Will Reign is well clear, but Minari, Tulip, and Frolic are charging home. It's She Will Reign in front. The $20,000 filly's got the slipper one.
spot, one for us. How about you move?
There you go. That could be very astute, Ray Thomas.
Hey, Russian Rebel, we saw some great races yesterday, Jim. You mentioned Big Duke Billy, his clash with our Century in the Mannion Cup.
Did you agree with that?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Protest, yeah.
Pushed out about 3 times.
Yeah. Straight long duel, that was fantastic.
Wasn't it?
Then we saw this race, the Galaxy. Kieran McAvoy rode his second Group 1 winner on Russian Revolution. Terrific training effort by Team Snowden to Quinnell the race and produce Russian Revolution first up in the Galaxy.
Village swings in front by a length on Red Zell closing in. Then Russian Revolution has still got something to offer. Red Zell lays it down to Jungle Edge. Russian Revolution a length off. It's Red Zell just in front of Jungle Edge. Russian Revolution's trying his heart out. Red Zell in front. Russian Revolution, he's up for the fight. Russian Revolution goes to Red Zell. Russian Revolution plunges and got the money. Big win. Russian Revolution beat Red Zell and Jungle Edge. Good
mark.
Huge
win. Call.
Huge win. Yeah, good call. Good call. Chautauqua, 460 favourite for the TJ Smith. Now, this is in a couple of weeks' time.
And he's switching back to the TJ. No Doncaster, Chautauqua.
What did you think of Chautauqua's run?
Yeah, Gills, but he over-raced a little bit.
Right.
Hard to make excuses for anything behind wings.
Yeah, true. Astern, $6. Russian Revolution and Spieth, $8.
That's a great training effort, Jim. First up on that heavy track, Russian Revolution, three-year-old, beating the older sprinters, you know, by Team Snowden. Then they got the Quinella Red Cell, so congratulations to Peter and Paul. And Kieran McAvoy's second Group 1 for the day.
Yeah, going exceptionally well. Is that it?
That's it for you, Jim.
That's us all done. Oh, well, there you go. Now, I'll tell you what, we're getting some good nominations in for this Moments in Time. We like this one. Moments in Time. I was sitting in the old Frank Burke stand at Lang Park when Artie let out Queensland in the first State of Origin. The roar will never leave me. Brett from Broadbeach.
It's hard to beat.
That's a very good
one. Master Monkey comes close here, Jim. Moment in Time.
Yep.
I remember I was playing bowls and I ducked in to buy a beer and saw Darren Weir get his first Sydney winner. Unbelievable, unforgettable. How time flies.
It's a very different dude out there, Master Monkey. Time for a break. We'll be back with more. It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the Wild West.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea. The best of station racing. Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Lano, we need to talk.
What about, Mum?
About replacements.
Replacements?
The next generation, Lionel. It's time.
Oh, thanks, Mum. I knew I was ready.
I'm talking about TVs.
I knew you were. There's never been a better time to buy a TV at Bingley.
Because?
The next generation TVs are on the way. Samsung, LG, Sony, Panasonic, Hisense, Changhong. We've never had a TV clearance like it.
Did you really think you could replace me?
Oh, never, Mum.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
Hi, I'm Chris from Perfect Pet Products. Nova Employment has provided us with 4 members of our team. The guys are hardworking, reliable and always eager to learn. Hayden, our newest member of our team, his hard work has made him an asset to the business.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda,
the PT50 experts.
More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres.
At Mulgar Road, Penrith.
Well, I wonder how Scott Darby's feeling this morning, Jim. Last year, he went so close to winning a golden slipper with a $10,000 filly. As you said, he went way above his purchase price.
Yeah, last year.
$20,000. But he's landed the golden slipper with his syndicate of owners. And Scott's been good enough to join us. Scott, good morning. Congratulations, firstly, on She Will Reign's win yesterday. Can I ask you, Scott, what was it about the filly that you liked so much? Because she's only modestly bred and not an overly big filly, so there'd be a lot of other yearlings that would have looked more inspiring, I guess, to a potential buyer.
Yeah, good morning, guys, and thanks for having us on. No, she's a lovely filly, and look, she was just, you know, nothing over the top or nothing you could pot about her. She's just a lovely athletic filly that hit the bill for us, what we like in a early running, precocious filly.
Did the selection and the performance of Yankee Rose
they don't know what price that they're bought at, but it can throw you a little bit when you start to buy into the higher end, that you start to wonder why you're paying so much for one particular horse and not the other. So it can be both ways.
Scott, she's been an absolute star for you this season, but can you take us through, if possible at all, if you can even remember anything about immediately after the race in that sort of scrum with all the owners?
Mayhem.
It was mayhem, wasn't it? Yeah.
You created it.
Can you take us through it, Scott?
I'll try. Look, once again, I heard the tail end of Gary's interview with you, and we do have to really thank the ATC. They really looked after us, getting so many owners in there. And as we've spoken about, Ray, it's one of the biggest parts of getting new people into racing. Is syndication is a big avenue there, and to see so many owners just going nuts, absolutely crazy. I was just watching a little bit on Twitter, there's a little bit of a feed from Inglis, a live feed, and it's bizarre watching just people crying and jumping and, cartwheeling.
If you look at the sectionals, the times that she was running was just unbelievable.
On dry tracks.
On dry tracks, yeah. That's right. I know it doesn't really matter now, Scott, because you've won it, but would you just love to have seen the opportunity for her to run on the dry track and just see what she was capable of? Because I think in those conditions, she was clearly the quickest horse in the field.
It's a really interesting point you make. Yeah, look, so many doubts crept in this week about running on the wet track. We hoped so much for a dry track, and you could see the weather just wasn't changing. And I remember praying this week and thinking, it's for a dry track, and I was reminded that if he's in control, that God I'm speaking about, it won't matter what track we're on, and just to trust and hope that that she can get through it. And it was actually interesting too. Friday morning, I had a little bit of a vision, and I had two visions. And one was that she was going to go off the inside fence and win, and actually beat Frolic up the inside.
Wow.
And the second vision was sticking to the original tactics, which was to go forward, put a few outside boots in, or one out, one back, and we hit the front, and actually Frolic got us on the inside. And on the back of those two visions, I rang Ben and Gary to have a bit of a chat about the tactics and talk about those sort of two scenarios. And it was good to hear Ben, sort of say, look, we're going to play it by ear. Well, it was a great discussion in the end, but to see it actually pan out the way it did was a bit mind-boggling to what sort of went through my head Friday morning.
We asked Gary earlier, what were you thinking when Ben took that radical left turn soon after the start, Scott, went in behind the field to find the fence?
I thought it was incredible. As I said, having that vision on Friday morning, those thoughts, I thought, this can't be happening. Because I thought from barrier 11, it'd be very hard to get there unless you're going to drag it back. But he didn't drag it. But just as amazing was to not only to get to the fence, but to make up so much ground during the mid-race. And we were within striking distance on the turn. It was just surreal. You thought, wow, this is just panning out exactly how you thought you could see yourself winning. It's not too many races, particularly a big race like that, where at halfway down the straight, you're starting to celebrate, and you have to keep looking back down the straight to make sure there's not something coming. So, truly amazing.
Gee, that's interesting, Scott. You know, they say athletes, when they're in the zone, they can almost, they step outside themselves and witness what is happening. They're like a witness to it, which sounds exactly what you had there. Hey, you know when Harry Triggerboff, the highly successful property developer, goes and looks at buying a piece of property, that half the time he walks out and gets someone else to do his bidding because he's Harry Triggerboff? You know at the sales next time, Scott Darby, you're going to be there bidding on a horse, and they're going to go, right, and if he wants it, we're launching in. How do you counter that?
I don't think that'll happen. There's that many good judges out there that... I don't know. It's, there's so many horses out there to bid on. thanks, guys, and thanks for all the support.
Congratulations, Scott Darby there from Derby Racing Day with the Syndicators. She Will Reign, the winner of the Golden Slipper. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's go to callers now because Adrian is on the line. Hello, Adrian.
G'day, g'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you going?
Good morning,
very
Adrian.
Well. Just a couple of things for the weekend game. I actually expected Manly to win. Obviously, didn't predict that score. But see, they've got some real quality in their team. The Trbojevic brothers, Dylan Walker, Cherry Evans was back to, great form. So, there's nothing wrong with Manly as a roster. That's definitely sure. And the other thing is, the Warriors are just dreadful. They've gone backwards at the rate of knots. And, Stephen Kearney, what are your thoughts about him?
Well, I've got to say, as soon as I heard that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was out of that side, that I thought Canterbury would win it.
I've read that. Yeah.
Stephen Kearney. I was talking to a mate who knows footy the other day, and we were talking about the game coming up that night, which was Canterbury up against Warriors, and he said, I'd rather have Des Hasler in my corner than Stephen Kearney.
Okay.
And on the strength of that, you go the Bulldogs.
That may be the case, but I just think, I don't know what's happened with the Warriors. They're just, I think, if they put up that performance against, the better quality sides, the Roosters, the Storm or the Broncos and, Cronulla, they'll put 60 on.
Well, let's not get carried away, Adrian, with the quality of the contest and the two teams that were involved. I mean, a decent game of footy, but I think we've seen that there's five, six, maybe even seven sides that are above them from an NRL point of view at this stage. We're three games in, but at this stage. Yeah, for example, the Roosters and the Panthers last night, they're two quality sides. I think you could see that. 1353-53. Time now to have our scratchings around New South Wales, and we say good morning for the first time to Tanya. G'day, Tan.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, everyone. Two meetings scheduled for New South Wales today, Wyong and Albury. Unfortunately, we've lost Wyong. Meeting postponed due to the weather and state of the track. No surprise there, I guess. So we'll go to Albury. It's Country Championships qualifier day where the weather is fine. The track is good for. The route is out 1 metre the entire course. 3 metres from the 800 to the 400. Penetrometer 4.1 and 20 scratchings. Out of race 1, take 12, Miss McKenzie. 13, Corazon d'Oro. And 15, Foxlike. 12, 13 and 15. Race 2, number 8, Sikkim. 15, Schoolboy Error. 16, Boliviano. And 17, Imitation Game. 8, 15, 16 and 17. Race 3, number 10, Sister Hazel. 13, Rossova. And 17, Ruletta. And add 18, Osso Vane. That's 10, 13, 17 and 18 out of race 3. Out of race 4, number 12, More Spur. Number 12, race 5, number 3, Dynamic Concept. And 13, Why Me Lord. 3 and 13. Race 6, take out 11, Yet to be Convinced. 12, Imi. And 14, Thunder Road. 11, 12 and 14. The big one, the championship qualifier, which is race 7, take out 11, Morton Joseph, number 11 from race 7. And out of race 8, number 6, Big Spender. And 9, Our Edition, 6 and 9 from race 8 at Albury.
Thank you, Tan. Raymond, you got some tips for us?
Tips today. Tough meeting, this country championship qualifier meeting at Albury. Race 4, number 7, Sun Wisp. Perfectly drawn racing well, should be hard to beat. In the country championship qualifier, race 7, I thought number 4, Challenge Accepted, was the horse to beat there. A little awkwardly drawn, Jim, but pretty handy horse. In the last, race 8, number 5, The Flash won.
Okay, now which is your bet of the day?
I think race 4, number 7, Sun Wisp.
Okay, race 4, number 7, Sun Wisp. Your bet of the day last week got home?
It's a pretty short one.
Yeah, but still got home. Can't go wrong backing winners, Raymond. We're going to back Peter Peters. He's going to be our winner to start off the next hour, and we'll have a chat with Peter Tye, part owner of Winx as well. All coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Australia's childcare costs have risen at 5 times the rate of inflation over the course of a year, with the average hourly fee increasing by 7.6%. Education Minister Simon Birmingham says data released today shows the Turnbull government's temporary stopgap measures are not enough to ease childcare costs, with more action urgently needed. The government's increases to the childcare rebate subsidies look likely to be blocked in the Senate because key crossbenchers won't support the measures being wrapped in with other family welfare cuts. Mr Birmingham wouldn't be drawn by the ABC on whether he might be able to strike a deal to pass the childcare changes by splitting the legislation.
I'm not in the business of speculating about how negotiations are progressing, but we absolutely want to see our childcare reforms pass the Parliament during these next 2 weeks of sittings, so that we can give certainty to families and to childcare providers that help is on the way.
The Early Childhood and Childcare in Summary report found more than 1.2 million children were in childcare in the June 2016 quarter, 2.1% up from a year prior. One person has died in a head-on collision with what was believed to be a stolen Holden utility. Victorian police have not yet been able to identify the deceased occupant of the Honda involved in the collision at Wallington on the Barwon Peninsula. The driver of the Holden, an 18-year-old Ocean Grove man, was airlifted to hospital with life-threatening injuries. Police believe the Holden had been involved in another minor accident near the scene just moments earlier. Two men have been rescued near Curtis Island, south of Rockhampton, after their helicopter crashed. Both men, one a 56-year-old and the other a 61-year-old, suffered serious spinal injuries and were taken to Rockhampton Hospital. The cause of the crash is not yet known. Overseas, and a top official in the US security agency, the NSA, has rubbished reports that the British spy agency snooped on US President Donald Trump. The White House last week cited a media report that the Obama administration had requested the phone tap during the election campaign, but NSA Deputy Director Richard Leggett has called the allegations nonsense.
The genesis of that is someone who completely does not understand the relationship between the US and the UK and the calculus that would be used. What would be the advantage to the UK government of doing something like that? The cost would be immense in comparison to any value, so of course they wouldn't do it. It would be epically stupid.
Also in news, a 14-year-old boy has miraculously survived falling 30 metres down a cliff at Mount Solitary in the Blue Mountains. This is Air News. The Sunshine Coast Lightning have grabbed a 51-50 victory over the Collingwood Magpies in a super netball thriller in Brisbane, despite an injury to Kiwi star Laura Langman. An interception from makeshift centre Laura Sherian, with her side a point down and less than a minute on the clock, proved the turning point last night. That led to a score by Stephanie Wood and another from Caitlin Bassett to put the Lightning in front, after which there was no time for a restart. Langman dislocated a finger on her left hand during the second quarter in a tussle for the ball with Maddie Robinson and was taken to hospital for scans. The Brumbies have clinched the Dan Vickerman Cup with a watershed 28-12 Super Rugby victory over the New South Wales Waratahs in Sydney. 2 tries in 2 minutes midway through the second half blew an otherwise dreary derby wide open as the Brumbies recorded back-to-back away wins over the Waratahs for the first time. The 4-2 triumph was also the Brumbies' record 9th straight win against Australian opposition, leaving the ACT outfit top of the conference after a week in which their very existence came into question. Also in sport, the Western Bulldogs have ended their AFLW season on a high with a 32-point victory over the Giants, consigning their opponents to being the competition's inaugural Wooden Spooners. Final score 7-10-52 to 3-2-20, and Manly beat North Queensland 30-8 in NRL. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Amber's 20% off everything sale ends today. That's a massive 20% off all your indoor and outdoor tiles, pavers and stone. Hurry into your local Amber store. Amber has the answer. In Warramoo, we've got a car accident. Great Western Highway, a railway parade affecting eastbound traffic. Another car accident, this one in Narellan on Camden Valley Way at Narellan Road. That's also affecting eastbound traffic. And Rosehall, look out for a fallen tree. Boundary Street at Hill Street. Westbound traffic affected there. If your legs feel tired, heavy and swollen, you may have poor blood circulation. Try Anti-Stax. Available at Cincotta Discount Chemist. Famous for value, famous for care. Use as directed. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Cloudy, 95%. 95% chance of showers. Might as well round it up, guys. V-O-M. Possibly heavy at times. Showers becoming less likely this evening. The chance of a thunderstorm more likely in the west this afternoon. Winds easterly 25 to 35 kilometres, turning northeasterly 15 to 25 kilometres during the afternoon and evening, and large and powerful surf conditions today, so be careful if you're doing any swimming or surfing or rock fishing. Maximum 26 degrees in Sydney town. Now, what about at Granville, New South Wales, and Grafton in New South Wales, Roman?
Granville, surprise, surprise, Jim. Showers, currently it's 22 degrees.
Yeah, we have. And don't worry, there's still another 5 days of it, right?
Grafton's had too much. They've had a lot of rain up there. Currently it's 22 degrees at Grafton, heading for a top temperature of 26. Chance for some heavy showers again today in Grafton.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
I lost the beer gut.
My husband lost his beer gut.
Our dad lost his beer gut.
Thanks for the man shake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
You've probably been to some big race meetings, but you've never been to one like this. The Group 1 Durban July, South Africa's version of our Melbourne Cup, in one of the world's most fascinating cities. That's just one highlight. The Ambassador Travel Tour starts on safari in Kruger National Park. There's exclusive access to South Africa's famous stud farms, the wineries of Stellenbosch, and the cosmopolitan coastal playground of Cape Town, with Table Mountain as the backdrop. Why not extend and take in Victoria Falls and Sun City? Ambassador Travel look after all the details, and it's first class the whole way. Call Ambassador Travel right now, 1-800-777-989, or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
Hayward Country Championships down there in Albury. Five runners for Chris in the Country Championship qualifier. Lots of people wanted to have their say on anything related to this sport. There's footy, obviously, on. There's the cricket's on as well. The massive day of racing yesterday at Rosehill Gardens. Our Moments in Time is our talk topic, and we'll have got a lot of people wanting to have their say on that one. Tullock winning the 1961 Brisbane Cup, carrying 63.5 kegs. There you go, that's one. No name on that one. My frozen moment in time was when Ali took plenty of punishment before taking Foreman out in Rumble in the Jail. That's Ron and Maurice.
Similar theme, moment in time, sitting on Dad's shoulders watching Tullock win in 1950. Darren Flindell's brilliant call in yesterday as well. No name there, but imagine that, sitting on your dad's shoulders watching Tullock win. And on a similar theme, Jim, Moments in Time, who will ever forget Steve Bradbury?
Stephen Bradbury, there you go. So we've got some great prizes to give away as well. Look, we've had a chat to management, and Ray's been able to work it out that this double pass for the Roosters versus South, you've been upgraded to a corporate box.
Wow.
That's for the best core today, the best SMS today. You've got the Event Cinemas VMAX. This is for the double pass.
Thursday night game?
take on it with Jimmy Smith out standing on the sideline.
I'm not convinced
Penrith are the real deal. I don't think they can hack it at the moment with the top teams in the Premiership. They're 1-3. They've beaten the West Tigers fairly convincingly, but I still don't think that they're a Premiership threat just yet. Jim, what do you think of them last night?
I thought that was a quality game given the conditions. A little bit of drop ball, and to be honest, the Panthers did it without the football. You know, the Roosters had more of the football. The Panthers were able to do it. I think they're one of the elite sides in the competition. I really do.
I don't think they're spine, albeit, you know, the fullback's an outstanding player and captain. I just don't think they're 1, 6, 7 and 9 are up there with the gun teams. When it matters in a game, I think Cleary's still coming on, and you can't, he's a outstanding young player for his age, and he's only in his second year in the NRL. I think another 2 years down the track, I think we saw with Mitchell Pearce when he came in, I think I see the same thing now with this young fellow, Kamari Martin, another one that I think another 2 years down the track, absolutely outstanding. Do they have a number 9 that excites me? No, not really. I mean, he's a steady player, but he's nearing the end of his career. I don't think there's points there. They've got plenty of talent coming through, but not yet a premiership threat for them. I don't think they can win the comp.
I think Nathan Cleary will be spoken about as one of the great players. He's 19 years of age and he's so composed.
Yep. A couple of years down the track and has got a great kicking game.
Yes.
I want to see him a little bit sharper in attack, and I want to see him read a game a little bit, but that'll come. Look, I agree with you. I think he's going to be an outstanding player, but we're talking about this year, this competition, I'm not convinced.
Fair enough, Zorb.
Hey, Zorb, sort of put a bit of spice on the local derby clash later on today. They've declared themselves a big brother now.
Well, they are.
They're not wrong.
They are. I mean, you look at them. They've got their own ground. They're the current premiers. They're juniors. People seem to forget. They've won a lot of junior comps in the last couple of years in the quality comes from, in the Ball and Matthews. There's not a big, massive big area in terms of juniors, but they're recruiting well. They've got a lot of good young talent. Illawarra region is one of the best nurseries for rugby league. It has been over time in memoriam. But right now, the Sharks are a better run, better performed, better club than St George Illawarra. And there was a time where you couldn't say that, but it'll be on for young and old today at Shark Park for the big one against St George Illawarra. I can't see the Sharks losing that one.
No, me neither. Before we get to your Zapper, great to see Billy Slater. He is the greatest fullback I've ever seen in the game, and I think he's a guy who's deserved of immortal status because he changed what fullbacks have to do.
I only saw the tail end of Clive Churchill.
Yeah.
I did see what was available of him on film, and he was outstanding, but I agree with you. Billy Slater's right up there. And Changa Langlands, that his brilliant best, was a wonderful fullback. And we're clouded by his exit from the game in those white boots in the grand final where they got thrashed by the Roosters. But, yeah, Billy Slater back in the game. He looks as fresh as ever, doesn't he, in the face?
Yeah.
He never changes. He still looks like a young track work jockey riding for Gay Waterhouse. Oh, it's lovely to see him back. He'll only get better now. That was a big game for him. Long time out. And you can see he was nervous, and it was great. And the ovation that he got from the crowd in Melbourne was sensational. I didn't think I'd see that coming from a Melbourne crowd ever in rugby league, but it's great to see that the Storm have really made their mark there. That was a tough game of football, 14-12 to the Storm over the Brisbane Broncos. I enjoyed it.
And you're right, he's Benjamin Button, isn't he? They had a vision of his, here's his first game in 2003 or 4, and here he is now. It's like, he doesn't look any older. How'd he play?
Who did Button play for?
Oh, he was an outside back, played a little bit of time with Western Suburbs in the mid-70s, I think. Righto, where's the Zapper going?
Right, just before we get to that, you saw Latrell Mitchell up close again last night. You're on the sideline. Every time I see him, and particularly with that fin that he's got, he reminds me of Greg Inglis more and more every day. I'm starting
I think if Hayne gets back and gets any sort of form, Hayne will go in there instead of Latrell. But Dean Farre's a very good defensive centre, and he pushed him away with ease last night.
Farre's as good a centre defender as you've seen.
Yep.
You're right. He gave him a terrible time last night. It was, we're talking about Jared Hayne. Titans didn't miss him, did they?
No.
I mean, who would have picked that?
Nah. Well, I did.
Go Manly, 30-8 over the Cowboys. You're not going to mention that.
But I've got to say, I listened to it. I heard the Cowboys call team, so I was getting one version of events. But I got home, saw the last 5 minutes of it. Defensively, they must have been outstanding. But I said earlier to Ray, Jason Taumalolo has made himself a $1 million player by not playing.
Well, he has, and he's an outstanding player. And on the other side of the coin, Matt Scott's probably cost himself a $1 million year player by not being able to play probably for the rest of the season. Newcastle have dropped off.
So what's the Bob Fulton and Tim Cleary and Kister made up?
I understand, so I don't go into that area. That's not my that can be handled by their both grown men. They can handle that.
Hang on, you don't go into that area. This is what you specialise in, Zorg. Mate, you're caught in the middle too, because you're related to the Penn family and you're very good mates with Bozo too, so it's put you in a difficult position.
It's best I keep my big mouth.
Diplomatically said, Zorg.
For one of the rare times in my life. By the way, you're going to ask me one moment in time. Absolutely unbelievable watching Cathy Freeman in my
city
that I love win the 2000 Olympics. I know it's probably the most popular one, but it was fantastic. And the Tide Test match, Australia versus the West Indies, you blokes wouldn't have remembered it, but
no.
I remember it, listening to it on my transistor sister at North Wollongong, on North Wollongong Beach.
You were there in your sluggos, were you? That's a sight. good.
Back out to sea.
They're good ones. Tide Test, Cathy Freeman. Righto, where's the Zapper going?
The Zapper today, I think the Raiders at home, they need to win.
Yes.
And I think they will win. I think they'll get their first win on the board. And I like the Sharks, both teams, Raiders and Sharks, to cover the start against the West Tigers and the Dragons. So load up today for the men of league.
And they are both at -8.5. Raiders -8.5, $2. Sharks -8.5, $2. I tend to agree with you on both of them. Actually, I can't believe they're both $2. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak next week.
Good on you. Good on you, Ray. Another big winner. You tipped it yesterday. You are a freak.
You did. I got a bit lucky. Thanks, Zorb.
In the business. No, you do it all the time.
He does.
On big races, Ray Thomas. You're the man.
There you go. Good on you, Zorb. Speak to you next time. Peter Peters there with all the latest in the world of rugby league. A break, and then back with Peter Ty, part owner of Wicks.
Our next caller, Tom, has something to say to a special loved one.
It's the horse, clearly innocent. Just love him. Backed him at the country championships at Royal Randwick in 2016. Weaved his way through traffic and raced straight into my heart.
Stunning, Tom. It's easy to have a bit of disorder because we've got hard racing offers on all the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Bet you love that. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
At B&E, we're cooling up a storm this month.
What are you cooking, Mum?
It's a metaphor for our cool kitchens month at B&E.
I knew that.
No, you didn't.
I know we've got top brands like Miele, Smeg, Bosch and Westinghouse on display, and our cooking experts will be answering all your questions. And we'll have special offers every week.
Come and think what's cooking at Bingley.
That's a metaphor.
No, it's not.
It's Cool Kitchens Month at Bingley, and there's a great deal more in store.
All covers, all grounds, all bacon. Franco won the champion stakes and lived up to the fight.
International Racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man? The man from Mazda. Penrith Mazda Centre is family owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including the BT50. The BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. So come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith, where there are over 40 BT50s on display. At Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
Drove past yesterday.
Good spot, isn't
gazing
it? On the way towards Panther Park.
You know what it is? I gaze lovingly over at all the Mazda BT50s.
You have to buy one, Jim.
You're right.
You've been talking about it for a long time.
I have.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast.
say it every time, Pete, but she was awesome yesterday, wasn't she?
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Yeah, no, absolutely sensational, mate. I couldn't hope for a better day myself.
Does she keep amazing you? Look, you watch her and she wins a Cox Plate, that's fantastic. Then she wins another Cox Plate and she wins it by eight lengths, and then you think, right, well, that's just, you know, that's a peak. And then you go to the races yesterday on a bottomless track and she does what she does. Does she continue to amaze you?
Oh, mate, she amazed everyone yesterday, from the jockey to the trainer.
Yeah.
And they thought she could win, but the way that she went and the emphatic style, and she beat up some pretty good horses, and they're no loafers in Chautauqua and Luramain. So we were really excited to win, but just really swept away by the way that she did it, in the manner that she did it.
Peter, I'm almost embarrassed to ask this question, but I will anyway. Given what she's done over the last 2 years, 16 consecutive wins, has she gone to a new level?
Oh, I think, well, Hughie describes it as being at the peak of her powers. I think she's just fully matured now, and she's where she is. I don't think she can get much better.
Yeah.
She's just at a level, an elite level as a sports, like a sports person, I suppose. Just got there, and if she can hold the physical condition and the way she is, I'm sure she's going to win us a few more races.
There's no doubt when you hear Waller and Bowman speak, there's a respect for the horse that you have. But the love for the horse from the general public is something. Does that blow you away, Pete, when she steps out onto a racetrack and people are there just to see her run?
Well, yesterday was, as I say, something special. But one of the special moments was I was with my wife and we turned around to look at the crowd.
Yeah.
And, the adoring fans that she's got now, it's just amazing to hear the roar of the crowd. This is before the race,
yeah.
After the race, it was just amazing to see everybody out taking all the vantage points to see her. And, we're blessed to be able to race her, but, you know, it's just such an exhilarating feeling to just watch all the other people and see that they're really enjoying it as much. And that's, you know, it's really near for racing. That's what we wanted to do, is bring racing to the forefront of sports and keep things happening.
She does that. She's definitely transcending the sport. There's no doubt about that. Here's an SMS we got, Peter, from one of our listeners, from Gibbo in Bathurst. Hi, Ray and Jimmy. I was on my way home from work yesterday and I stopped at a little fruit shop where they had the races on and Winx was about to start. I stood there. I've never seen her race before. And, wow, what a horse. Just amazing. That's what she's doing now, isn't she, Pete? She is transcending the sport.
Oh, mate, we're getting calls, you know, because I'm from Brisbane, but all over Queensland, places like Emerald, places you've never heard of, that people are calling in and just saying that they're at the TV and everyone's having a beer and they're enjoying the afternoon, watching the race, and how good it is, and it doesn't matter where they are, they're all getting together and having a great time over it. So, yeah, mate, we're just, like I say, we're just happy to be part of it, and it's gone beyond just us being the owners. Chris and Huey, it's gone to the public and just can't be better, and we just hope it continues.
Do you take it to the world? Is there plans to go to England and take on the best over there, Pete?
Mate, eventually I'd like to be able to say yes, but you know, it's her, keeping her in good condition and healthy and well and happy, you know, is something that we want to do first and foremost, and then you know, we'll sit down towards the end of this year and have a good hard look and just see what's there. Chris will make the plans, not us as owners. He's the commander in charge, and he'll certainly take time to examine what's a really good course for the horse and you know, make sure that she's capable of doing what he wants her to do.
Well, I think, Peter, the two races Chris has mentioned consistently as her main targets this year. One's coming up now in 3 weeks, the QE Stakes at Randwick, which I think Jimmy's got the market up now. She's into $1.15 for the $4 million Group 1.
There's no other horse in single figures.
It's just amazing. And then, obviously, long-term, the Cox Plate. They're the two big ones, aren't they, Pete, for 2017?
Yeah, well, that's what we'd like to do. We don't want to rush off overseas. There's some nice targets here for her. Keep the enthusiasm going, you know, with the racing, and give everybody something to look at. So it's all nice to talk about going overseas and you know,
John took Tanya and I up there to have a look around where he's planning to build this block of residential flats, etc., in Gosford. It's very exciting. John, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And this is a
Raymond. How are you, buddy?
Terrific, John. This is a project close to your heart. Why are you so passionate about doing this for Gosford?
Oh, well, you know, I've been coming here 60 years. I've lived here 20. And been I can't work out why everywhere between Sydney and Newcastle there's high-rises and every railway station except Gosford Mile. So I complained and moaned, and I took Marathon up there in Lambleth and said, why aren't you doing this? Look at this. All the 60,000 people catch the train here and go to Sydney for jobs. There's no jobs in Gosford. And no high-rise. And anyway, I didn't get anywhere, so I thought, I'll put my money where my mouth is. I'll shut up and I'll build the first world-class high-rise in Gosford, which I've now done. Oh, no, I'm doing it. As you say.
Yeah. It's exciting, John, too. And do you think you know, you haven't been able to get people to do it beforehand, but do you think once you do this, you'll drag people with you? You drag local government and state government with you?
Yeah, I think I'll make a lot of money for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's already, because we were discussing on air last week, I went to the nippers instead through Alzheimer's.
Well, forgive me that one, John. It's all right.
Yeah, I know, mate. I've never let you down before. But, mate, we sold 31 out of 51 units. So it's going to be the contracts exchange. They're not, you know.
Yep.
So we're going to be up this weekend down to 15. So it is going to be successful. That's just that's high-rise apartment, and there's two stories of offices, and then in the ground floor there's a world-class stand, it's a restaurant. It'll be in the same class as Bell's, a pretty big house, and the other things I've done up here, really, really fabulous. So you can live there, you can look out over the harbour, and right across the railway station, and driving's only, you know, it's funny that people still think Gosford's so far away. We're not even part of that urban plan of Lucy Turnbull's, and yet Gosford is, if you get to Gosford quicker than you get to Palm Beach.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you've got this wonderful city, or will be a wonderful city. Yeah, there's just in the last year, there's $3 billion worth of DA's been approved for Gosford, and in the previous couple of years, nothing, or virtually nothing.
Yeah. It's starting something. It's a good point you made, John, because where this site is virtually directly across the road from Gosford Railway Station. Now, a fast train from Gosford, you're in the city in about an hour.
Yeah, well, the slow train takes an hour. There's a bit of wobbly line between Brower and Warwood, where the trains go 8k an hour. If they were straight from that, you wouldn't have to be a genius. Yeah, that would be a 40-minute. Anyway, at the moment, we won't talk about, you know, we're going to do this. All sorts of futuristic things. We'll talk with reality. That if you get in the walk across and you're central in 1 hour, mate, and then please, and that's as of today. And we start building, we've got a display suite of East Gosford, Giddos, not Matty Giddo or Ronnie Giddo, but G-I-C-C-O-E-S. We're all thinking in the sports world, Giddo East.
Yeah,
Giddos, and we've got a display unit that's open today in East Gosford, same every day. And,
you took me there, John, and the thing that struck me was the appointments you've got, in particular your bathrooms, etc.
Yeah.
They are really luxury one- and two-bedroom apartments.
Well, we're not going to do it, buddy. That's it. We're going to do it. It's like when no one had a five-star resort here. We built Bell's 10 years ago at Kilcare, and it's now in all those social media sites. You'll see it and Pretty Beach House rated in Pretty Beach House is rated by both Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Travel Advisor as number two resort in the whole world.
know about the Nathan property, and you can get us at realestate.com.au is the one that he asked, and there's the display unit at Giddo's, not Ron, not Matt, Giddo's up there at East Gosford. Time for a break. We'll be back with Andy Pascalidis from the world of football.
AstonVita.com.au, up to 70% off products including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, taxware, with a new black chrome finish out soon, plus they have vanities, toilet sweeps, basins, and freestanding and drop-in bars, and so much more. 2-year warranty over 50 service locations with free delivery to most areas. AstonVita.com.au, up to 70% off, an Aussie company since 2007. That's AstonVita.com.au.
It's as good as it gets at Australia's leading incentive sale, the Magic Millions Gold Coast March Ewing Sale. Buy your own Racetrack Star at the auction on March 20 and 21. Recent graduates of the sale include million-dollar earners winning Rupert and Madotti and the all-conquering Buffering, a winner of over $7 million. Race for more with the Gold Coast March Ewing. The rewards are incredible. For more information and to view the catalogue, visit magicmillions.com.au.
There's a medical problem affecting millions of men, but we don't talk about it. Let's call them performance problems. And problems getting or maintaining a, well, you get it. Thing is, most guys would rather suffer in silence than risk an embarrassing appointment with a doctor or chemist. But there may be a cure, and finding it is as easy as talking to the professionals at Men's Health Clinic. Visit mhc.com.au or call 133-MHC to get this fixed today. Men's Health Clinic. 133-MHC.
Harvey Norman's massive clearance outlet is open 7 days. It's the only one in Sydney and it's at Mascot. Full of manufacturer's seconds, ex-display stock, scratch and dent, factory refurbished units and end-of-line run-out models. It's all cheap, cheap, cheap and priced to clear. Fridges, washers, TVs, computers, furniture, bedding and flooring. And lots, 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 lots more, lots more. Harvey Norman's clearance outlet. Gardeners Road, Mascot.
Just to let you know, that was a paid advertorial with John Singleton there for the Knife and Towers. And you're right, Master Monkey. Here you go, the bloody movie tickets. No adjoining units for Ray and Jimmy, unfortunately. We're going on safari, Raymond. Not to the Knife and Towers, but they're heading to South Africa, hunting the Big Five. The lion, the elephant, the buffalo, the leopard and the rhino in the Kruger National Park. In fact, the ambassador travel is making it the Big Six, because we're also chasing the thoroughbred. Racing South African sold has exclusive access to their world-famous stud farms, racing in Cape Town before climaxing with their version of the Melbourne Cup, the Group 1 Durban July. Why not extend and take in Victoria Falls and Sun City? Good idea. Forget the hassle. For the ambassador travel, it's first class the whole way, including the best of corporate hospitality on race days. Call Ambassador Travel now on 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.
unbeaten now in 12 games in all competitions. They're the benchmark. They have been the benchmark, much like Sydney in the A-League. They're 13 points clear of Spurs, and Spurs get up tonight. My four-leg multi comes through, so I'm fingers, toes, feet, everything's crossed in the next 24 hours. Cause, look, I think Spurs will. They're playing Southampton at home. They're $1.85 at the moment, $1.65 that they might have come into.
Wow.
And Southampton have blown out to $5, but some big games tonight, guys, too, when you look at it. Borough at home to Man United. Man City hosting Liverpool. That's going to be another cracking game as well.
Go Liverpool. Hey, Andy, I hate to say it, but Jimmy was right. It's a case of Claudio who, because Craig Shakespeare, 4-4 now at Leicester.
What a story, eh? What a story. And remembering, of course, too, right, there's only one English team left in the Champions League, and that's Leicester.
Yeah.
They did a job on my boys West Ham this morning, and it was all set up inside 38 minutes. They were up 3-1. They were actually up 2-0 inside of 7 minutes. Mahrez and Booth scoring. So this fairy tale has been sort of resurrected. But look, more importantly for Leicester, where they are on the table now, they're 6 points away from the bottom three. That's the crucial part of the equation for them. And anything that happens from here on in the Champions League is an absolute bonus for them. But, wow, Claudio Ranieri, he was godlike status last year. But now it's all about Craig Shakespeare, the caretaker manager who became the main man last week.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the A-League. Melbourne City, well, that's just an out-and-out flogging of Newcastle Jets. And good to see Jimmy Cahill. Of course, the headmaster of the A-League, header again.
Yeah, the headmaster in the 12th minute, the Nick Fitzgerald in the 65th, and that guy, Fern Fornaroli, scored a brace in the dying stages. And City's third win in 4 games. Jets are now winless in 6, and more importantly, for City, it consolidates third position for them. They're on 36 points. I think they'll stay there. I'm expecting Adelaide and Brisbane to play out the draw today at Cooper Stadium, and Western Sydney, $1.87 at home to Wellington Phoenix, should get their first win at Spotless.
All right. Socceroos updates. What's happening with Mile Jednak? Playing plenty of footy?
He is. And, you know, interestingly enough, he's playing centre-back. They've had an injury crisis at Aston Villa, and they haven't lost since he's switched to centre-back.
Huh.
And they got up today at Wigan 2-0, and Mile had another strong game. Massimo Luongo scored for QPR in a 5-1 drubbing of Rotherham. Bailey Wright and Aaron Moy went head-to-head. Bristol City dusted Huddersfield 4-0. That's an incredible result. And Jackson Irvine must be wondering what the hell happened when he went out after the halftime break. His side, Bert and Albion, were leading Brentford 3-1, but they lost 5-3. Tommy Urich didn't score this morning. Trent Sainsbury on the bench for Inter Milan, who drew at Torino 2-2. Mitch Langerak and Matty Lecky played full games for their German clubs. Lecky should have scored a couple of goals this morning at Dortmund, which is an ominous journey for any team. But they lost 1-0 in Ingolstadt. I reckon Ange will be pretty happy, not just this weekend, but what's been happening the last 2 or 3 weeks for his key Socceroos, because, of course, a lot of them now will be flying into Tehran for the big World Cup qualifier before returning home to play that second game against the UAE on March 28th.
Yeah, it's good to get some game time for them, isn't it? Fantastic. Good on you, Andy. We'll speak again next Sunday.
All the very best, guys.
Thanks, Andy. Andy Pascalidis there from the World of Football. A break, and then we're back with the quiz, courtesy of ZNZ. So call now if you would like to be a part of it. Just an update on the score. Raymond on 6. You are
4.
It's getting tight.
On the way back.
13:53:53.
Rule again. Flying on the outside.
Can't wait to get on.
Championship. We'll be live from select tracks around the state on the
October, November or December?
I'll go October.
Sounds like Jeff was December.
Oh, look at that. You're fading down, Hamish. Go on, pack up. See you later, buddy. Out you go. We're back to Rodney. Great job, mate. Who's your team?
Dragon.
Good on you, Rodney.
You're prepared to admit that publicly?
Can we win today, Rod?
The derby, we're a chance.
We're a chance.
Little brother, huh?
They're stirring the pot, aren't they, the Sharky?
They've only won one comp in 50 years, come on.
They're stirring the pot, Rodney, they're stirring the pot.
No way, little brother.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Just to let you know, as of the World Championships in fistball from 2015, of course, we're looking forward to the 29th World Championships from Switzerland, but in Cordoba, in Argentina, in 2015, I don't think anyone's going to be surprised, Rodney, that Germany were the winners of the fistball championships.
Down in my sport.
Great cross-reference to another advertiser.
Yeah.
Well done, Rodney. Stay on the line, mate. We're sending you out a Dragons watch, a St. George Illawarra watch, courtesy of ZNZ. So just a little update there, Raymond.
Get through that one, okay?
Oh, yeah, we got a
slight little hiccup.
Yeah, not too bad. I tell you what, we've done much worse. Let's be clear on that. 1352-53 is the open line number. Now, let's go to callers because Dougie is there, wants to have you say. Hello, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How's your day?
Good morning,
really
Doug.
Well, mate.
I've got two topics to tell you. George Burgess, the high tackle, he's got away with it. What's the referee doing today?
You mean the elbow?
The elbow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Won't get away with it.
Well, he won't get away with that. But in saying that, Doug, it's a good point. George Burgess should have been sent from the field, and that may have made a difference in that game.
Yeah, it should have been, yeah.
He should have been sent from the field. Absolutely.
Yeah. I got this other topic. Shane Warne taking the hat-trick, 5 wickets, the flipper.
He took a hat-trick in South Africa in 94.
He took a hat-trick against England.
England, sorry.
David Byrne caught it.
Short leg, great catch.
The third wicket.
Yeah, and I might give you the wrestling DVD CD one day when I see you.
The wrestling CD? A DVD?
Yeah, give it to your kids.
What's in that, Doug?
It's got all the wrestling titles and everything in 84 and 85 or something.
Okay. Yeah. I tell you what, my kids are into wrestling. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try and get it in the studio probably next Sunday or something.
That'd be fantastic.
Good on you, Doug.
Good on you, Dougie.
Thanks so much, Doug.
Appreciate the call. But and just on that George Burgess thing, you know, what do you have to do to get sent off?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, I wasn't watching the game, but I saw the incident, and that's a send-off offence. And if you see it and you're giving away a 10 men send a sin bin, well, what do you have to do?
And it's to penalise Newcastle big time. Because, as you said, he's probably going to get...
You'll get six or seven weeks.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be very surprised if it was anything short of that. Hey, fellas, two sporting moments that will forever be etched in my memory. 1983, I was 11 years old and I was having a sleepover at my cousin's and we got up at all hours of the morning to watch Australia 2 take out the final race of the America's Cup. The next one was early one morning in 1994. I was driving to work when I heard the news that my favourite sports person of all time, Formula One legend Ayrton Senna, had been killed in an accident at Imola. These are two moments that I will never forget. Great topic, guys. That's from Hanks. Good one, Hanks.
Greatest.
Hanks, I'm sure you would have seen it if he's your favourite sports person. Watch the documentary, Senna.
Amazing.
Oh, it is just the most fascinating story. Bobby is on the line. G'day, Bobby.
Yeah, how are you, Jimmy and Ray?
Very well, thanks, mate.
My sports memory is a long, long time ago, before probably both of you were born, but it was, I remember the day, it was the 25th of February 1964. I was in Santa Barbara in California, and we'd been surfing all day, and a few mates, and we stopped and got a few pizzas and a couple of cases of beer, and went to a mate's place and watched Cassius Clay win his first world title.
Sonny Liston.
And he stopped Sonny Liston in the seventh round, and we watched it on TV over there. It was crazy.
Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. We had a couple of SMSs as well, Bobby, about Muhammad Ali.
Rumble
only the
fight.
George Foreman fight, but
yeah.
The Sonny Liston fight, he did. He shook up the world, didn't he, that day?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, he was, I was only, as I said, it was my 18th birthday, and he was a 7-1 outsider.
Was he?
Because Liston had just knocked anyone out,
yeah,
that he fought, and everyone thought, yeah. And it was such a build-up over
she's getting